Amen. It's good to see you all tonight. The last night of 2016. How many ever believed that we'd actually get to 2016? That's incredible, but it's still, what can you say? We're here. Let's open our Bibles this evening. And forgive me, but I lost my connection. I have a wonderful message tonight, and actually really excited about not only tonight, but tomorrow as well. And this afternoon I had no clue what would we be preaching on for tomorrow. Tonight I've actually been working on this for 2 days, but I think you'll really be blessed. We open up our Bibles to John 5, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And Hebrews 9, and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, the title of our message tonight is the DNA of Jesus, and so we're going to examine that as well. But let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we see, Lord, through your scripture, that it was you, God, who created the blood cell. You said, "This a body has not prepared me." You placed your life in that blood cell. You placed your life in your Son. And Lord, we want to examine these things tonight by the light of your prophet, the end time message, and by the light of your scriptures. And so we ask you, Father, to help us to come away tonight having a closer relationship with you than we've ever had before. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, we've been studying paragraph 29 of Brother Bram's sermon, The Rising of the Sun, for the last three services. But before we go further into our reading, I'd like to look one more time. This will be our third service on paragraph 29, where I wish to take our thoughts for this evening. Now, Brother Bram says, we as beneficiaries are to prove his life is in us now. So we're to prove that his life is in us now. And of course, there's nothing we can do but get out of the way and let him do it. But notice, the beneficiaries of this life, the life, there never was a life like it. He was the Son of God, and he died, and that shut it out. But when he raised again from the dead on Easter morning, then we, as his servants, are commissioned to him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that he's a living. And how can we do it? By word only. For it is written, the gospel came not by word only, but through power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to prove that he's alive. Well, if we're going to prove, then it's got to be done by the same way he proved, and that was through the Holy Ghost doing the manifestation through you. As Brother Vail said so many times, he said to me anyway, he said, just keep your eyes off the vessel. And get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. And when you even look into the mirror of the Word, and yet you're looking at yourself, don't be looking at this vessel. Look at that soul that's crying out to God that's inside of you. That soul that's identifying with Him. That's what you need to look at. Now, in Hebrews 9 and 20, we read, notice that Brother Brown was talking about the life that was in the firstborn son, and that same life that was passed down to us through the shedding of that son's life through his blood. What I would like to do this evening is to take us to the next step and to examine the blood and the life in the blood, and then into the nature and characteristics of that life, which is found in the DNA. Not the chemistry of the DNA, but the law that governs the DNA strand or the characteristics. The law that governs the chemistry. The law of life, which is found in Genesis 1:11, every seed after is kind. Now, last Sunday, on Christmas, we spoke to you on imparting of life. And we showed that the Christmas message actually was God imparting his life into his son. And the Easter message is in the son having that same life, imparting that to you and I. And now your message and the message of this hour is that we are to go and to impart life. That's our job. That's what we're here for. The Bible says, and all their offspring with them. It's not only possible, it's predestinated to be that way.
Amen.
You see, that should take the worry off your back. That should take the worry off of your children. Are they going to be there? Are they not going to be there? He said, all. Now, God is not a liar. You believe God for His Word, and He'll make sure that it happens. Like you said, He'll make your body obey your confession. Now, in Hebrews 9:20, we read, saying this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Now, this word enjoined means to order someone to do something, to urge strongly, to command, to set as a goal or purpose for you. So the blood is enjoined to you means it's purposed for you. It's not only purposed for you, but it's your goal. It's your command. So we see that the blood of the testament is the purpose or goal that God has purposefully set up for His sons. Therefore, let's begin our study this evening by looking at this fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was brought forth as the very blood of God. Now, we all look at the chemistry. We all look at the scripture says, a body has so prepared me. We all look at the chemistry and we say, Jesus Christ was the blood of God, and that's a correct statement. But we're going to see something that goes beyond that tonight. And it's going to draw you, it's going to enjoin you to that blood. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Now, therefore, let's begin our study this evening by looking at this fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was brought forth as the very blood of God. In Acts 20:28, we read, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Who? The Holy Ghost. God Himself. Hath purchased with His own blood. Now notice, the Apostle Paul speaks of the blood of God is that which purchased the church. The Weiss translation calls His blood His very own unique blood. Be constantly maintaining a careful watch over yourselves with a view to guarding yourselves. Also do the same with respect to all the flock in which the Holy Ghost appointed you as spiritual overseers, shepherding the church of God, which He bought for Himself through the agency of the blood which is His own unique blood possessed by Himself alone. Now, in this sermon, Possessing the Gate of the Enemy, Brother Branham said concerning this blood, now, but when Jesus, the Son of God, virgin born, shed His blood, the life that was in that blood was God itself. The Bible said we are saved by the life, by the blood of God. Not the blood of a Jew, not the blood of a Gentile, but the life of God. God created this blood cell, virgin born. She never knew no man, neither did the egg come from her. I know many people that won't believe the egg did. The egg can't be there without sensation. What would God do then? See, He created both egg and blood cell. And that was the tabernacle of God, holy. And I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. That's where the egg come. Neither will I leave His soul in hell. His body was holy. Oh my, you know, if you can't believe that, how can you call yourself a Christian? We're saved by the blood of God. That's where my faith is. Not walk out there in the blood of a prophet. Not walk out there in the blood of an ordinary man or a teacher or a theologian. We walk there in the blood of God. Remember, if you walk in the light as He is in the same light, He's in the same light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Okay, now, God says so. He became human being. He changed His strand. He stretched His tent here with us. He became one of us. He's our kingdom redeemer. He had to become kinfolk to us, because that was the law. God became man and dwelt among us. Now, Brother Bell explained to me about the body of Jesus. He said that body was the body of God, and He loaned it to His Son. All right? Well, Brother Branham actually says the same thing. He says, from then Jesus came and called. He said, the blood comes from the male sex. The hen can lay an egg. But if she hasn't been with the male bird, it won't hatch. It's not fertile. Fertility comes from the hemoglobin. That's blood. That's in the male sex. always. And the woman's only the egg, and in this case, Jesus was the blood of God, a created blood cell. He was neither Jew nor Gentile, he was God. The Bible said that we're saved by the blood of God, not Jewish or Gentile, a created blood. That's where, and if he was a Jew, my faith is gone. If he was a Gentile, my faith is gone. But he was God. He was the immortal God manifested in the flesh, that he created a blood cell and made his own body. Amen. That makes devils tremble and run. That puts them on the move when you see the real genuine thing. Praise the Lord. God manifested in the flesh. He is the blood of God. Therefore, the life comes from that germ, and now by that blood. Well, the life comes by that blood. And what? Look, let me ask you this. How many believe you have the Holy Ghost? Well, then you got the blood of God in you. Not the chemistry. We're not talking about chemistry. We're talking about the law that governs the chemistry. Now, if you go into the DNA, Brother Peter probably knows a little bit about that because he works with a lot of that stuff. But when you get into the DNA, it's just like a machine. And it's almost like it has a machine with gears, and it's all geared to each other. You have the T's with T's, the G's with G's, and those kind of things. They cross over, and there are just so many different amino acids that produce all of the different attributes and characteristics that are in you. I believe it's like four. I think there's four. There's T, G, F, and I think it's C. Yeah, C. And all of those four, combination of those four creates gray hair, brown hair, blue eyes, brown eyes, creates it all. Just a combination, all of it. And let me tell you this, it also creates your personality. Your ups, your downs, the way you handle yourself. It's all there. And it's not the chemistry. The chemistry is just the housing, it's the vessel. It's the law of the genetic. The genetic law, actually the law of life in Genesis 1:11, that does that. It's invisible. That's God. Now, the Apostle Paul called it in the blood of he called it the blood of God, as we see in Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood. God. Through faith in his blood. God. Faith in his blood. God is blood. I remember God's spirit. But God created that blood. And God infused every essentiality and intrinsicality of himself in the DNA, which made up the blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. From his sermon, show us the Father, and it will satisfy. Brother Brown said, now, if you oneness, two-ness, three-ness, four-ness, and whatever you are, we'll just get this in your mind right now. You shake hands and say, we're brothers. There you go. If you could just recognize that the gene seed of God tops it all, tops your doctrine, tops everything, and makes you sons and daughters of God, then you'd love one another. You wouldn't be fussing with one another because somebody has a different ism than you have. You'd shake hands and say, we're brothers. Now, what is it that he's telling us here is that if we could just get it in our heads, it would change the way we treat one another. He goes on to say, now look, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jesus was the Son of God that God overshadowed Mary, created in the womb a blood cell. Now, you've heard people say, well, we're saved by the Jewish blood. We could not be saved by Jewish blood. It's just as sinful as any other blood. We were saved by the blood of a Gentile. They say, no, sir. He wasn't even saved by a human blood. We were saved by the blood of God. God's blood. The germ of life comes from the blood, and the blood cell here come from God the Creator, who created the blood cell that brought forth the Son of God. Now notice he says the germ of life comes from the blood cell. The blood cell is not the germ of life. The blood cell is not the DNA, but it lays within the blood cell. The blood cell is a wrapping around of an invisible life form of which there is a law of life that governs that life form, and that is that every seed will bring forth after its kind. Therefore, evolution is impossible in the gene. And they finally got around to saying that. I think his name was Dr. Dean Kenyon. wrote a book talking about the evolution of the the evolution of DNA, and for 5 years they're all just jumping on the bandwagon. And then one of his students said, "How can that be when because he was saying that there's an attraction between these different the T and the G and whatever. There's an attraction." He said, "Well, what is the attraction?" He said, "Is it a mechanical thing? No, it's a spiritual thing. Just like you all have those little cells, what do they call them, Helena? That every single cell in your body has a little T.
Laminin.
It's actually in the form of a cross, and it connects every single cell in your body. The cross is just everywhere you look. Now, the blood cell is not the germ cell or the DNA, but it lays within the blood cell. The blood cell is a wrapping around an invisible life form of which there is a law of life that governs that law of life, governs that life form, and that is that every seed must bring forth after its kind. It's like a blanket wrapping around. Like Brother Brad said, God infused, everything about him. He wrapped himself, all of his attributes, characteristics, in that blood. So, it's like, just think of it, a red cape wrapped around. Okay? Now, that is a law that governs the life that lays within the blood cell, which houses it. We will get to this in later in this evening. Again, Brother Brown said from Shrove's Father, he said, "God Almighty, God the Father, overshadowed the Virgin Mary and created in her womb a blood cell which brought forth the Son of God without a sexual desire. And that blood was shed at Calvary," hallelujah, "that is the blood that I trust in tonight when there's nothing, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the blood of God saves us. The blood of God brings Jesus Christ into our midst. The blood of God brings the Holy Ghost, not the blood of a Jew or a Gentile, but God's own created blood. Jesus, the man, was his son that he created himself, and God tabernacled in that tabernacle." So, it was the blood of God that brought forth the body, but it was God life. All right. And in his sermon, Deity of Jesus Christ, he said, "Therefore, when Mary, knowing not a man, she was with the male, God, the Almighty Jehovah, and he overshadowed her, and God is a creator that created a blood cell in the womb of Mary, knowing no man at all. And that brought forth the very creative blood of God to redeem us from the life, from our life, coming here in here, being born of sexual desire, and then that blood was drawn out of Emmanuel's veins on Calvary's cross, and today has the same saving, redeeming, holy power that it did in the days that the transfusion was made out at Calvary. You believe it? Amen." Now, that's right. We're redeemed by the blood of God. The Bible says we are bought by the blood and redeemed by God, God's own blood. Okay, now, so far we've kind of taken quotes and things in Scripture, just kind of tied together, showing you that, okay, that blood cell, that was the body of God. But as Brother Bell said, he loaned it to his son. Now, listen. Now, it is not the chemistry of the blood that saves us, but the life that lays within the chemistry. The scientific evidence of creation is overwhelming when one just looks into not only the chemical structure of DNA, but the very law of life that governs that structure. As Brother Branham taught us in the token, he said, it is not the chemistry, but the life within the chemistry. So too we see this in DNA. There is what is called a DNA chain, which is made up of substances and compounds made up of amino acids, which are bound together into a DNA strand or chain. It is not the chemistry itself that produces the code, which forms the essentiality and intrinsicality of the DNA chain, or of the attributes and characteristics, but rather it is the code itself, which is none other than the law of life God spoke in Genesis 1:11, that is etched into the DNA, that gives expression to each individual identifiable characteristic that we call genes. But what these are is a code that is written into each DNA chemical amino acid and protein that God placed in the seed to begin with. Now that's a lot of science right there. I hope you can all follow me through. What is wonderful is that these DNA codes are not able within themselves to alter the code within themselves. They are fixed, as God said in Genesis 1:26, "Let every seed bring forth after its kind." Now, I remember years ago, about 1984 or so, and I was preaching and I was looking up into, trying to understand what age was, because Brother Brown said every germ is a spirit, or those things are demons. And I found that the head of the CDC, the director of the CDC at the time, he said,
that an RNA attaches itself to your DNA, and it goes in and it rewrites the code. Now I thought, now that can't be done by just chemicals. It's not a chemical thing being done. It's a spirit. The spirit actually gets in there, and what it does is it actually attaches itself, and when it attaches itself, what's it doing? It actually takes down the defense that's in your code, that's in the code that says I'm not allergic to this, I'm not this, I'm not that, and it actually goes in there, and it's like rewiring or hot wiring your car. All right, it goes in and actually does it. That takes intelligence. It's not just some dumb chemical dropped in your body, and now that chemical is poison, and it sets you off. It actually rewrites the code, the defense code in your body, in your T cells. Now, recently, science has taken this one step further, and through research, has proven that DNA code is actually linked to music. Did you know that? The studies are ongoing, as we talk. When assigned a musical note to each chemical in the DNA chain, they have found there are musical patterns revealing intelligent design still further. Now, this is really getting... I love this. This is just phenomenal. From an excerpt from an article called Science Forced into a U-Turn by Jonathan Gray, we read, Susumu Ono, a noted researcher in DNA, was astonished, so astonished, that he took his findings to musicians. And musicians, in turn, were astonished to hear echoes of Bach, of Schubert, of Mozart in DNA music. So, what was Schubert, Mozart, and Bach, what were they doing? They were reflecting what they are. And that came out in their music. What are you when people see Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever? That's what you are. It's written, it's etched into your DNA. That's why I said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen. Using the same formula for converting DNA into music, Dr. Ono worked backwards and translated Chopin's funeral march into chemical symbols, and it came out cancer. Came out cancer. Took Chopin, put it back into a DNA chain. Cancerous. The article goes on to say, scientists at Bell Laboratories conducted studies on the mathematical language in the DNA molecule, and what do they find? Its mathematical patterns is identical to that of conversational language. Now, this really gets good. You know why? Because the Bible says you are written epistles known and read of all men. It's etched into your DNA before there was even one molecule to make one potash, one calcium, one anything. It was etched in, into the DNA code. They etched it into the chemical makeup of who you are. That's why you can receive the message others can't. When we get to know who we are, brother, sister, nothing's going to stand before you. Hallelujah. The article continues. Concerning DNA, Charles Thaxton states, a structural identity that has been discovered between the genetic message on DNA and the written messages of human language, a new design argument, cosmic pursuit. The article continued, Hubert Yockey, explains, there is an identity of structure between DNA and protein and written linguistic messages. Since we know by experience that intelligence produces written messages and no other cause is known, the implication, according to the abductive method, is that intelligence caused produced DNA and protein. The significance of this result lies in the security of it, for it is much stronger than if the structure were merely similar. We are not dealing with anything like a superficial resemblance between DNA and a written text. We are not saying DNA is like a message. Rather, DNA is a message. I like to say the DNA of God is the message. You are the message written and known of all men. True design thus returns to biology, Journal of Theoretical Biology. I could just scream right now. Hallelujah. So not only is the message and the messenger one, but the messenger is actually the expression of the message. As Jesus declared, I and my Father are one because my Father indwells me. In John 10 and 30, he says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered them and said, many good works have I shown you of my Father. For which of those good works do you stone me? And the Jews answering him said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law that you are gods? And he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came. Therefore you're gods. The word of God has come to you. Right? If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, you don't have to believe me. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of there. The very literal logos and rhema etched into the very attributes and characteristics in the very DNA of the Son of God. And let me just say this, and sons. And sons. For things that are to be, Brother Bram said, in other words, I and my Father are one. My Father is dwelling in me. And what do you see? I'm doing. It's not me. It's my Father that dwells in me. He doeth the works. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Sometimes you say, you know, why did I say that? And you listen to a tape later on and say, Brother Bram said that. And you ask yourself, where did that come from? It came from your DNA. It came from the message that's written, that you are the written epistle known and read of all men. If we could just learn to die to self, die to the chemical, die to the body, and let the message, the code that's been etched into your DNA begin to just take over, you will see a reflection of God. Others will see a reflection of God. And the whole world will see the manifestation of the sons of God. From spiritual food in due season, he said, he was both human and divine. He was a man weeping, but he had to be God to raise the dead. That's right. And he said he was a man hungry, but he was God feeding 5,000 with a couple biscuits and five fishes. That's right. He was a man sleeping on the back of a boat, but it was God in him that could still the waters. For why? He and his message was one. He said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. He was the fullness of the Godhead body. And this poor example of a son of God could be sitting down because he sees something that's impossible for a man to do. And God can speak to that son of God and say, look, your eldest brother did it. Your older brother did it. Just step into that saying. It's written in your DNA. Go and say it. I said what the prophet said, and God did the same thing for me. And he'll do the same thing for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Does God change his mind? Now watch when Jesus comes. Watch what he did to prove himself to be that Messiah, that anointed one. One day, and after that he had received, and the Father came down and dwelt in him in the form of a dove coming down from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. That's the reason he said, I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me. It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. How is the Father dwelling in you? Remember, Brother Bradford, when the Holy Ghost comes in, he comes in about the size of a button. Okay? I don't know if I have a button on here. Well, that's kind of a big button. I think he was using a shirt button, which is smaller. Size of a button. But he said, but it begins to spread out. When word is piled upon word upon word, it begins to spread out. And it takes a hold, what did he say? Of every cell, every fiber of your body. Why? Because it's already written in the cells and fibers of your body. It's easy access. Hallelujah. Now, John bear record seeing that the Spirit of God, like a dove descending, a voice coming, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. See, and he dwelt in him. From seed is not air with a shuck, he said, now notice, in the womb of Mary was the seed. But when the seed was delivered, It said, I come to do the will of him that sent me. I and my Father are one. If I do not his works, believe me not. There was the seed. Which one of you can condemn me of unbelief? What the Bible promised I do, I done it. God has verified it, that through me. He said, who can tell me now? See, but the seed of Mary, the shock, it was close to being that, but it wasn't. It was still in the womb. Notice, and in the Pentecostal age, through the Lutheran age, through the Wesley age, it's been the same thing through the Pentecostal age. Now, and notice, but at the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, the full word is to be born into manifestation again and vindicated by the Spirit of God in the full strength, as it was when it was here on earth, manifesting in the same way, doing the same things that it did when it was here on earth. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In St. Luke 17:30, Jesus said, in the last days, as it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man will be revealing himself, it'll be the same thing. Why? Because it's etched in the DNA of a prophet. From presence of God and recognized, he said, now in the days of the prophet, what happened? They did the same. They didn't recognize them till they had done, come ministry, had finished, took out of that elected. And then after they were gone, they recognized that there had been a prophet among them, Jesus. Jesus came to the earth, endowed with him was the Father, God. I and my Father are one, my Father dwells in me. It's not me that doeth the works, but my Father. And if I do not the works of the Father, believe me not. Now, if you notice, when he came about one ninetieth of the world knew that he was even on earth at that time, and yet the Savior of the world, and then they never recognized who he was, even the church, and no one else, hardly, until that they had crucified him, buried, and rose on the third day before they ever knew who he was. Now listen, we had mentioned before, there's no such thing as evolution of a gene. It can't happen. Because the law of life says every seed after its kind. Right? Well, then if you have the gene seed of God that was in God's thinking before the foundation of the world, how can you be any different than God himself? You can't be. It's impossible. Don't you see? The whole world is waiting for you to manifest as sons of God. It's incredible. Now think about it. He was the Word made flesh, the message and the messenger were one. And so they rejected the messenger because they rejected the message, because he and the message were one. Same thing today with William Branham, and same thing today with the elect seed of God, who have become the very blood of God by the Spirit. Now listen, from the unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, you think that you have, you believe in God, believe also in me. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me, but if I do the works, and I and my Father are one, when you see me, you have seen the Father, and when you see the Word made manifest, you see God, you see the Father, God. Because the Word is the Father, the Word is God. And the Word made manifest is God himself taking his own Word and manifesting it among believers. Nothing can make it live but believers, just believers, or actually just sons. Because that's what believers are. Because no one can really believe it except that DNA is already in it. Like Brother Brown said, it's got to be that gene seed. Now, that is why Brother Brown said in a sermon, show us the Father, he said, you are the blood of your father and mother, but being born again, you become the blood of God. The blood of Christ cleansing us. You, as sons and daughters of God, are the very blood of Christ. No different than the blood cell that went into Jesus. That went into Mary's womb. That same code, DNA code, that same life, that same genetic law of life is in you. Now, we're not looking at the chemistry. We're looking at the life that guides the chemistry. Oh, hallelujah. The very life that guides the DNA. The code. The code. What's the code? It's things that are written, right? Just like they said, they found that in the very DNA is a very written code of linguistic language. Hallelujah. Now, it is with this thought that I would like to move on to point number two, where we began showing Christmas morning that the Christmas message is imparting of life. God imparted his own life into his Son, and his Son, by shedding his blood, his life on Calvary, the very blood and thus the very life that manifested itself in him, was released upon the church to bring forth sons, and thus release the life of God that was in the Son to come back upon sons.
Now, and we have thoroughly established that Jesus was the blood of God, and that in that blood housed the very life and the very nature of God's DNA. Now, this evening we're going to make another turn, so just stay with me, as we are going to show you that the very life that was in Christ Jesus, the firstborn Son of God, comes into sons. And that makes us, as Brother Bram stated here, being born again, you become the blood of God. Hallelujah. That, if you could just understand who you are, you're deity. Deity sitting in this room. Deity viewing us on camera around the world. Now, he's not talking about the chemistry of the blood, but the very life, the chemistry of the blood that the blood contains. From the token, he said, now the blood is the chemistry of the life, but the life is something different from the blood, but the life is in the blood. Brother Brown was talking genetics here. Therefore, science has proven that the DNA is a musical chord or a musical melody, and it is a mathematical equation, and it is a linguistic language, and thus it is a message, making the messenger and the message one. How can you receive the message if it's not written in your DNA? Hallelujah. That ought to give you a boost. That ought to tell you, hey, I can't help but to believe this message. That's who I am. Then if we become the very blood of God by the Spirit, and we become the very message of God to mankind, just as the first son, born son was of God's message to mankind, so too we saw that his messenger, Brother Branham, became his message to mankind, and now the elect bride must become that last manifestation of the message of God himself. Remember, God's Word. Who's God? He's the Word, right? What did God's Word say about adoption? To be a spirit of adoption. What did God's Word say about sons of God will be conformed to the image of the firstborn son? Well, if he was that blood cell of God, you've got to be conformed that you are the blood cell of God. Brother Brown said so. We just read it. Now listen. The very DNA code that reigned within that blood cell that created that body is creating a body in you. From the paradox, Brother Brown said, for instance, what if I had the jurisdiction over you as God had over everything, and I'd say, well, I'll tell you what. Anybody that looks at that light is going to die. Like, take that tree. Take the tree. And the first thing you know, this brother sitting there, this would have looked at that, and I feel sorry for him. I don't want him to die. So I'll have Terry here to, I will have Terry here to, well, that would be right. Now, no. Well, now, if I had had my own son do it, that wouldn't be right. There's only one way that I can be just, and that's to take his place. And God would not take a human's place being his spirit. So God created a blood cell, which was his own son, Jesus Christ, and God come in and lived in there and lived, identified himself in Christ, and that was God Emmanuel. Jesus said, I, my Father, are one. My Father dwells in me. See, God in Christ reconciling the world. Jesus was the body, the tabernacle, but God was the spirit that lived in him. Then the DNA code in sons of God is God. It's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word and the Logos was God. And Brother Branham said Jesus was Logos. He said, you're Logos. And it's written. We are written epistles, read of all men. From show us the Father, it'll satisfy us. And now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time, the Bible said so. Listen, I know that this is kind of heavy stuff, but it also should be pretty uplifting stuff to recognize who you are. But the only begotten Father, now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time, the Bible says so, but the only begotten Son has declared it. Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. It says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, and every time, Brother Brown, you do a search sometime on that. Just type in the words, in other words. And you're going to find Brother Brown getting into it in very much detail and explaining things that need explaining. In other words, now notice Brother Branham uses that word, in other words, he's going to explain how that this can be that you can see the Father when you see Him. You see the Father express Himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense
that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God, and then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitudes towards the people. See? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, and he said, when you see me, you see the Father, and why do you say, show us the Father? We think too many times of the Holy Spirit as being some other entity, and he decides he's going to come in and sit inside of you, and somewhere, he's around there somewhere, I don't know, somewhere in the body he's there, and we kind of think in terms like that as being, it's not another entity, it's God, it's life, it's the very life, it's your being. He's come into you and he's indwelling you and he has become your life. When Christ, who is our life, shall phaneroo, then shall we phaneroo with him. Hallelujah. Now you are sons of God. But it doesn't seem like, you know, you really do, but when he appears, you'll be like him. See? For certain we would see Jesus, and Jesus said in St. John, the first chapter, also in the 10th chapter, in the 37th verse, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. In other words, what the Father had expressed that he was. What the Father had expressed that he was. If he didn't do that, then don't believe him. That's only sensible. And in St. John 5:39, and search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. In other words, he was the living word. He was God's word made manifest. And oh, how I like to get into that. God's word made manifest. In other words, made known. God's word made known. In other words, he was the one that God had lived in to make his word known. Christ expressed what the word taught. What the DNA code or the logos in the DNA was saying, he was expressing. Are you? I hope so. I think you're here tonight because you are. There you are. Christ was the expression of the word that was wrote. Christ expressed it. No wonder he said to those Pharisees, religious leaders of his day, he said, you hypocrites, said if the sun sets clear, you say it's going to be pretty tomorrow. If it's red and lowering, you say it'll be foul weather. Said, you can discern the face of the skies, but the sign of the time you cannot discern. For if you had known me, you would have known my day. See, they had religion, oh my, plenty of it, but they failed to see him as the Messiah. From identification, he said, now look to him, all the ends of the world, and live. And the only way you can, if sinless nature expressed the word of God so much that he and the word was one. And he said so. I and my Father are one. I do always that which pleases the Father. I and my Father are just one. He was so perfect in the image of God until he and God was the expressed same thing. He was the flesh, the Son. Look, when a person is talking about the DNA strand, right? They can't see the code. It's invisible. But when they see the expression in the chemical, they're seeing what the code is. You understand? Okay. And that's what Jesus said. He said, so he and the Word became one, and the Word could express and could show to the world that example of what man should be. Oh, let me just go back. I always do what pleases the Father. I'm my Father one. He was so perfect in the image of God until he and God was the express same thing. He was the flesh, the Son, that expressed the deity of God. So that made him deity in a man in order to redeem a man. See, he and the Word was one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was made flesh. So he and the Word became one, and the Word could express and could show to the world that example of what a man should be. From the token, Brother Ransom, when I see the blood, that's the token, and the token here is not, because what did, now he had to see the actual chemistry because the life had gone from it. It was an animal back then, but here it is, it's its own life that was in the blood, and the chemistry was only a signal or a sign of sanctification. But the life itself is in the token. For without the circumcision, without the token, you're not even in the covenant. Now the whole thing works together. If you say you're circumcised to the word and it only, then you'll believe the word. If you believe the word, then the token's got to come. For he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There you are. See, you take on that word, it says repent. You repent. What happens? You're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens? God does the rest. He fills you, and he gets that thing quickened. Romans 8:11. If the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, it'll quicken your mortal body. See, if it dwells in you. From sure we will see Jesus. And Jesus said in St. John, the first chapter, also in the 10th chapter, 37th verse. I think I read this one already. Yeah, let me just... Now, notice how many times Brother Bram said here, in other words, because he's trying to get across to us that God being the invisible word, the message of life, the DNA code, and when the messenger says nothing or expresses nothing but what the code says, what the message says, the invisible word says, then that messenger becomes one with the message and thus an expression of the message. And that message is engrafted into their DNA or they never could be one with that word. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, if God didn't etch it into your DNA, you'll never be that. You can't be that. Because every seed will come forth after its kind. Right? So it's done. All that he predestinated, he has already past tense glorified. It's already done. We're just going through life here to prove God's word. That's all we're doing. Hallelujah. And we're growing up to manifest who we are. For whom he did foreknow, that's in him before the foundation of the world, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, then he called, whom he called, then he justified, whom he justified, he hath also past tense glorified. He also glorified, doxazo. God already pre-placed within us his doxa in our zoe. Doxa zoe. In your zoe. John, what's your zoe? It's your life, right? That doxa was placed in there or you could never have received it. Hallelujah. Oh my. He predestinated us to be written epistles, read and known of all men. A reason you could believe and walk in the light as he is in the light is because he placed his own message of God's life into your genes, your DNA, and it was always there, but it took the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you to realize that you have always been a son of the King. From Colossians 3:3, it says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in his true character, then shall you also appear, Phanaru, shall manifest in your true character with him in glory, with him, united in him, in the same glory, the same dose, the same opinions, values, judgments, the same message, because it's the same DNA code. Right? Making you the blood of God through the same Spirit. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, one blood, one salvation. From the token, what an hour that we're living in now. Oh, a blood identified the believer because that the life had gone out, could not come back, so he had to have a chemistry. He had to have it like a paint, a blood, a chemistry that showed that life went out, went from it. Now, the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token. Not the blood, not the chemistry. The blood was shed at Calvary. That is true. But the blood, as far as it is, went back into the elements from which it came, from the food that we lived on. Remember, you are what you eat. But you see, inside that blood cell was a life that started the blood cell to moving. If it wasn't, he's talking about the DNA code. All right, the life. If it wasn't, the chemistry had no life in it itself. And therefore, it could not move. But when the life comes into the chemistry of the blood, look, Brother Brown's talking genetics way before these guys ever got around to it. They're only now, recently. You know, it's only been the last few years that they, and because a student raised his hand, said, Discipline, I don't understand how DNA can evolve. You're saying that one's attracted to the other. He said, what makes them attracted? You're placing human traits in them of attraction. You're placing emotional traits, attraction.
The guy said, "Oh my, I got to rethink this."
He actually became a creationist from being an evolutionist. Inside that blood cell was the life that started the blood cell to moving. If it wasn't, the chemistry had no life in it, and therefore it could not move. But when the life came into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. It formed its own cell, then cell after cell, and it became a man, and that man was God Emmanuel in flesh. But when that life returned back, the chemistry went to it. But the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they seek Christ. Okay, from questions and answers, so when you're born again, you're not born of physical like a baby was. But what happened, the spiritual birth has come to you. And while the spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or a celestial body growing to receive that spirit. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body, just as when the body is presented to the earth, the spirit comes in. And when the spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that is the spiritual body of the people. Again, that is why Brother Brown said in explaining healing and Jairus, the devil's trying to just scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. Say, well, some of these days you'll be. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're sitting together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. And right now we are sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like Him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who we call to justified, is that right? Those who we justified, He has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right. We'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are here, is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it come from. You know where your other body's waiting. Well, what if your desire is, Lord, make me more like you? That's all I want to be. More like you, Lord. I just want to have your peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to do things that upset people. I just want to please you. Well, if that's your going on inside, that's what's going on. You know what's crying that out inside you? That's your DNA. That's a little code that's working through your body. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost code. From identification to the reflection, you've got to be identified. And if you are, and you were in God's thinking at the beginning, and was His reflection here on earth, you'll bear record of the heavenly. And as He bore record of the heavenly also, and when He raised up from the grave and was given a body, when we raise up, we have a body like His own glorious body. The resurrection is sure. It's a guarantee, and we have the earnest of it now. As the Holy Ghost comes in and identifies us as God's redeemed person, amen, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're sealed till the journey's over. Well, listen, if that DNA's in there, you're a sealed product. Hallelujah. So when Brother Brown says you become the blood of God, he's not talking about the chemistry, he's talking about the life that the chemistry formed around, that DNA code. Okay? And the life that is in you by the new birth has to form a word body around that life as well. That's why Brother Vail always said, get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. It's all about God and God's life. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says, for by one spirit, by one word, by one life, for my words are spirit and they are life, Jesus said. For by one spirit, one word, one spirit, one life, we are all baptized into one body by one DNA code. We are all members of the same body. How do you like that? Hallelujah. We're all baptized in one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that one DNA code. Oh my. One body, he said. I don't know what you may believe, but as for me, he said, I have one spirit. I've been baptized into one body. And that one body, the body of Christ, has already taken his punishment for sin on Calvary's cross. And I was there, and I am now sitting in heavenly places in Christ. It's over. He that believeth on me shall not come into the condemnation, the judgment. Ephesians 2 and 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And Acts, this is one of my favorite scriptures of all time. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have or possess our being. As certain also of your own posts have said, for we are also his offspring. And if we are his offspring, that means that we have sprung off from him. So if he has a DNA, we've got to have the same. If he has a code that formed a vessel, a blood vessel, then we've got to have that same code forming the same cell upon cell upon cell. Then he is our source of life, as the scripture said, in Christ who is our life. Therefore, this brings us to point number two, and that is in the blood, in that chemistry, was the literal life of God. And the chemistry of that blood cell was infused then with the very DNA of God, his very attributes and characteristics that made God who he was, that Jesus Christ, the firstborn, was so much an expression of God that in him he was the essentiality and the intrinsicality of all that God is. In Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry time and in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, showing it was not angels God spoke to in Genesis 1:26, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And he said, I come into my Father's name, showing that he received his Father's name by inheritance. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This day I have begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now we're going to kind of wind down here where Brother Brown said, from possessing the gate of the enemy. He said, but when Jesus, the Son of God, virgin born, shed his blood, the life that was in the blood was God itself. That life was eternal life, and there is only one form of eternal, and that is God, and therefore it had to be God's own life in his Son. And from the token, he said, he created both egg and blood. That's exactly what he was. We handled God, the Bible says, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. We handled him with our hands. That body was God, certainly he was. He was God all over in the form of a human being. Now we must balance this with the statement also from Brother Branham, where he said, God's gifts always find their place. He said, now notice, and after when the wise men identify him, what he would be, and we find through the scripture, that's exactly what he was, deity in service for death. For what? Deity in service to God for death. Jesus was deity in service for death to redeem the world. But what did the world do to it? They refused it. They rejected it. Why? Some of them, a big part of them, did that because he did die. And they said he couldn't be deity and die. The man, the body, was not deity, but deity was in the body. This body has to perish. The very Christ that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. That's the deity, God in you. So the deity itself is the life, but the chemistry or vessel is a created being, and as a created being, it has to perish. For if it had a beginning, it surely must have an end. So we're not looking at the vessel, the body, the chemistry itself, when we refer to the blood, but we are looking at the spirit, the life, the very nature in him and in you. And this takes us to point number three. Jesus Christ was so much in the image of the Father that he did not come to express Son. He came to declare Father. Jesus said himself in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And the word declare means to express forth, to bring forth by expression. It was translated from the Greek word exegeomai, and we know that the first part of that word is exit or exe, or the root word for ex, which means to depart from, or to exit, or to bring forth. And then placing that before the root word genomai, which speaks of genetics, or the genes themselves, tells us that to declare the Father was to express the attributes and characteristics which make up the Father. How did he do it? Through his genes. Exegeomai. Therefore, we are looking at the statement Jesus made as being thus. God is spirit, therefore he is invisible, and no man has ever seen him at any time, but the only begotten, uniquely begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, he has exegeted him, he hath expressed the Father by manifesting and showing forth his attributes and characteristics to the people. That was the purpose of the Son of God coming into the world, not to receive life, for he was with the Father before the world was framed, but to receive a body that could express the Father in a visible form that man might
know God through an experiential knowledge. In closing, in John 17:3, we read, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word." Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. As thou hast sent me into the world, as means in the same way, so Jesus is saying, in the same way that you sent me into the world, I'm going to send them. And Brother Branham said, Jesus was the body, the Son of God. God dwelt in Christ. Now, Jesus said himself, the Son can do nothing of himself, John 5:19. But what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Did you ever read that? Then he didn't do nothing till the Father showed him a vision of what to do. Now, you see, the Bible's infallible, and Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said that. Now, and then in Jesus, I said, can do nothing until the Father showed me first what to do. The Father worketh, I worketh hitherto. In other words, he acted out in drama what the Father showed him. Now, watch. Each case, every time that you find it the same way, unless that was the people's faith. Now we notice this. Now again, we find out, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Now, the Father that sent him was with him and in him. The Father that sent him went with him and in him. Well, Jesus that sends us goes with us and in us. See, so Jesus shows us what to do. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so, or in the same way, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. See, that's why you don't do things to irk people. Because you're sanctifying yourself so that others can receive that imparted life. If you go around like a jerk, you're not going to impart life because nobody wants the life that you got or that you're expressing. Right? That means you learn to bite your tongue like Jesus did. They call him all kinds of names and everything else, and the Bible says he answers them not. You see? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, the dose of the opinions, values, the judgment, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I believe with all my heart that dose is written in your DNA. Otherwise you couldn't receive it. I and them, thou and me, and you couldn't live it. That they may be made perfect or complete in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, because really it's his glory, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There's your perfect love. Finally, John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this world, or save me from this hour, for this cause came I into this hour. Now, from body celestial, body terrestrial, Brother Brown says, this is a dying spirit and a dying body. But now, you can't be in two bodies at one time. But there can be two natures in you at one time. Now, in other words, you could have your nature by your first birth that you're struggling to die out to, and you can have the nature of the new birth. And there's a war going on, the greatest battle ever fought. But there can be two natures in you at the same time. Now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord, when you're born again, you're not born of physical like the baby was, but what's happened, the spiritual birth has come to you. And while the spiritual birth is growing into your heart, the heart of God, there's a physical or celestial body growing to receive that Spirit. I think I've already read this one. Now we know the new birth speaks of as Jesus said, he that is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, must be Spirit. For every seed must bring forth after its kind, or its nature. Then if you have been born again by the Spirit of the living God, you will receive the very nature of the living God into your being. And then if your Father is holy, for he is called the Holy Spirit, then if you have received his seed life, his holy seed life, therefore his nature in your mortal being must then be holy and cannot help but to live holy. Well, I think we'll, I'll just read it. From question and answers, he said, this is a dying spirit. I've already read that one. Okay. From Hebrews part one, he said, now, the oneness teaching in the oneness church, I disagree, I certainly disagree with them, thinking that Jesus is one, like your fingers one, he had to have a father. If he didn't, how could he be his own father? And if his father was a man, like the Trinitarian says, then he was born illegitimate birth with two fathers. See, so you see, you're both wrong by arguing. See, but the truth of it is that both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one personality. God dwelling in the tabernacle of flesh to take sin from the world. That's exactly right. God with us. If you've got the same DNA that Jesus had, it should bring forth the same personality. And from preparation, when God comes down and puts the Spirit into you, then you're no more your own, but you're God's. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, and we ask you, Lord, to bless it. May it bring forth fruit in our lives. May it bring us to a rest and relaxation, knowing that soon, Lord, we'll be caught up into that other dimension, and we'll receive our glorified bodies. Father, we pray also for tomorrow's service. We ask you to be with us, and Lord, may it truly just clinch the nail of what the sermon was bringing forth tonight. Be with us, Father, now as we turn the order of service to communion, and I ask that you be with us, Lord, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If the brothers will bring forth the elements at this time, and we'll open our Bibles to John chapter 13.